Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just wanted to say that we will continue to report on the crime issues that are presented in the city of New Orleans and how we go about improving same. I did want to make the observation, and the reason that I've focused in on homicide clearance rate is that across the country, that is the category with the highest clearance rate out there at 62.3% on average, and it's been about the same for a number of years. And the second highest clearance rate category is aggravated assaults, violent crime, and that's at 52%, of violent crime at 45%. So if you just improve just a little bit, you can see how it would overwhelm the system. And when we're talking about the elimination of incarceration in many respects and the reduction in the jail population to 500, we will have a lot of folks that will be ultimately convicted and no jail space to go to. All right, we are going to pivot. Michael Heck joins us every Wednesday at this time, and this is no exception as we start off the new year with Michael, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, Happy New Year to you and welcome.
Happy New Year to you as well, Newell. New Year, same old guest. Some things you just can't. You know, you just can't change. You just got to endure.
You're becoming the COVID variant now, you know, that just keeps coming back.
Thanks. That's sweet of you, Newell. Thank you so much.
We want to start off the new year on the right foot, right?
Thank you. Right. Looks like we're starting off the new year on our butts, as usual, yeah, man.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, I thought that we would hopefully not have to talk about a lot of this COVID stuff in 2022, but here we go. We got another curveball.
Yeah, but, you know, I have to say that, I mean, look, I suffer from optimism. It's just a chronic condition that I just try to manage now. But I am kind of coming into this year, you know, overall energized and optimistic. And part of that is about COVID. I think that if you look at the data in South Africa, where the mortality rate from the latest wave was at 0.2%, about the same as the flu. And if you talk to people here who are now experiencing COVID, you know, most of the people that I talk to, a lot of people have the flu now. They're saying that the flu is actually worse than COVID. And it appears that it's moving now into this stage where it's going to be endemic like the flu, and we'll manage it probably with a booster shot every year. But I expect that this will be the last wave that really disrupts us in a major way. That's certainly my hope, and that would make sense. The virus is getting smarter, virulent, but less damaging. And, you know, from a standpoint of it wanting to survive and replicate, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, although we are looking at this Cameroonian variant that has appeared in France, so we got our eyes on that now. It seems like we're going to be moving from one to the other. But no, I agree. A lot of the stuff that I'm reading says that this is typically how you move from a pandemic to an endemic. And we're kind of seeing, you know, that pattern reveal itself. So that, you know, I like you, believe that this could be near an end and become more manageable.
Yeah, and the tools are getting better, too. You know, we're having now the pills for managing symptoms and the monoclonal antibodies. And, you know, so I think it's not going to be clean, and it's never going to be out of it completely. But we'll learn to live with it.
Absolutely. So what are you hearing from your peers? I mean, I understand that we're still suffering labor shortages throughout the New Orleans metro area, predominantly in the hospitality and service industry. Any movement there?
You know, anecdotally, it feels like things are beginning to ease a little bit. Obviously, COVID has now thrown a wrench into that because there are a lot of folks that are just at home right now. But my sense is that the labor issues, as well as the supply chain issues in general, and obviously they're all related, are going to begin to ease in 2022. And so one of the things that I expect that we're going to see happening in 2022 is two of the inflationary pressures that we've been experiencing, which was the huge amount of money getting injected into the system, and then the constraint on durable goods, on supply, both should begin to ease a little bit. So I don't know what the numbers are yet, but just kind of my sense from talking to people, I think it's still an issue, but it just doesn't feel like it's as acute as it was a couple of months ago. Is that the sense that you're getting?
Yeah, I think so. I was in the Panhandle over the holidays. Every restaurant that we dined at was absolutely packed to the gills. The service was impeccable. I did not get the sense that there was a labor shortage there.
That's kind of the sense that I'm getting as well.
And quite frankly, it was a nice feeling, to be totally honest.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, you know, one of the things that's I think happened as a result of, of COVID and having these things denied to us for really a couple of years now is that there's definitely a renewed appreciation of service, a renewed appreciation of friends and family, and hopefully we can, the blush won't wear off of that. But I agree. When I go out now and go to a restaurant and I get good service and I get a nice meal, I certainly have a much more kind of immediate appreciation of that than I might have before. It's hard to take things for granted anymore, and that's maybe not a bad thing.
Michael, how about a quick update on the federal infrastructure funding? Where are we there? I guess it's been kind of a quiet period out of D.C., I guess because of the holidays. Most of the folks came back to Washington yesterday. So what are we hearing?
Yeah, so it's still a quiet period, and we're still waiting for really all the rules to begin to come out from D.C. about how the monies are going to be allocated. There really are two, I guess, general pots of money that what we're watching here on a regional basis. There's going to be the formula funding, the funding that's going to come down kind of on a prescriptive basis, and for Louisiana, that could be a bunch. We're talking about $8 billion from our back of the envelope, and that would include close to $5 billion for highways and surface transportation, about $1 billion for bridge replacement and repair for places like Baton Rouge and Lake Charles, about $500 million for public transportation, $180 million for airports, $100 million for drinking water, which is very important, particularly for Orleans, where the drinking gallery is fragile, and even $10 million for ferries, and then actually $100 million, I think, for expanding broadband coverage in rural areas of the state. So that's the formula funding. That's going to kind of come down through the state, and it'll go to places like DOTD. Then there's going to be discretionary funding, and that's what we're really waiting for the rules are. And that's money that we're going to be able to apply for, which is going to be money for inner city passenger rail, about $36 billion nationally, money for lead pipe replacement, money for clean energy, hydrogen hubs, which is money that we're going to be competing against Texas for, money for the energy grid. Really, as far as I can tell, only about $10 billion for of discretionary electrical grid money. We really are going to need a lot more. We could probably absorb all of that in Louisiana. But those are the funds that we're going to be applying for and competing for nationally. So what we're doing now in partnership with the Business Council of New Orleans and regional partners is we've developed a grid, Newell, and we're kind of trying to moneyball this. So we have down the left side of the grid all the different projects that we need money for on a regional basis, electrical grid hardening, sewer and water board money, I-10 widening of I-12 on the North Shore, I-49 extension, the Palco Bridge widening. And then across the top, we're listing all the ways we can get the money from the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act or from other funds like IDA Supplemental Appropriations. And our sense is that once we kind of have this bingo, chart filled out, then we can begin to work with our delegation in D.C. and either apply for the funds or make sure that they flow through the formulas. So we're trying to be really kind of, I don't know, pedantic about the approach, but people can't get lulled into a sense of or get lulled into forgetting that this is kind of once-in-a-lifetime money, and we're positioned in Louisiana to kind of get a disproportionate share of it, and we should get it. Somebody's going to get it. You know, we should get it here.
Well, we should definitely fight for it. I mean, the challenge always is going to be, and I say this all the time, your ability to receive, as we're still not having spent the Katrina money. You know, have we prioritized shovel-ready projects where, you know, that we stand ready to receive this money and actually act upon it?
No, it's a great point. And so it's, we need to, I mean, again, getting the money is one thing, but having the capacity, not just in the public side, but on the private sector side, in terms of having enough contractors and enough workers, it's going to be a major issue. And, you know, I think that like, if we're still talking about paying down Katrina money now, 15 years plus later, I think that you're going to see this money being digested by the country for, what, 10 years? I mean, it's not going to happen quickly. And maybe that's okay, right, that it's going to be something that happens over time. But you're right, the concern about the ability to receive and the ability to spend it and deploy it well needs to be talked about, because this stuff does not happen easily. And, you know, we're living it every day now in this region where the roads torn up. You know, it requires management, third-party management generally.
Yeah, I mean, I just make the observation because we have in our hands right now some discretionary dollars that we received as it relates to COVID that I think puts us in the position to actually move the identification and of projects and get them shovel ready so that when we receive this money, we can go make a difference in some of our infrastructure here. You know, which obviously we didn't have the benefit of as it related to a lot of the Katrina funding, but we do now. And the city finds themselves with a sum of money out there that they could really put to damn good use in getting projects shovel ready.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I know I've been talking with the city about how this is going to be managed and about the need to bring in third-party project managers to bump up capacity. And I think that's the attitude, that we're going to bring in the capacity to help it get done right. And I think another part of this is that it's important that the state, whether it's DOTD or the city or the parishes, communicate to the public about how the money is being deployed and how it's being used. I think part of the frustration that arises is that folks just don't understand the process. And I know that I've seen sometimes in places when there's a road project, for example, there'll be a sign out there that'll say, you know, this is the Main Street, culvert project, and the impact is that there'll be less flooding, and the funding is coming from a federal, you know, grant, and here's the timing. And I think communicating that to people is part of this as well, so folks just understand, you know, what's going on in their neighborhood and why the streets are being torn up.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what ultimately happens. There's no doubt that the need is there, as you talked about, with water projects and, you know, I guess the classic example is the hardening of power supply to the pump system and everything else. That, if nothing else, that should be shovel ready, and we should be ready to rock and roll and prioritize that.
Yeah, when we were talking about it for years, we know what needs to be done. So we're I think as a community probably as well positioned as anybody in the country, not just because of how well placed we are in D.C. right now, frankly on both sides of the aisle, but also we do have the Katrina experience that we're still working our way through. You know, we kind of know the rhythm of this. We know that things don't happen quickly or automatically. And so, look, no, we have no excuses for not doing this well, right?
Yeah. Hey, the only reason I spend a little more time on this, Michael, is that a lot of criticism going on around the country right now just as it relates to testing and the amount of dollars that were distributed to both states and cities and local counties. and no one seems to know where the money was spent. And everybody seems to be with their hand out again. And this is not going to bode well when IGs and others start looking internal audits about where this money was spent, how it was spent, and so forth. And this could get ugly. And this could end up just screwing up the rules, as you point out, that yet to be adopted on this discretionary funding that makes it really difficult to access these dollars.
Yeah, I know. Look, it's a great point, because I think everybody is kind of scratching their head right now and saying, how could there not be enough tests out there? I mean, we knew that another wave and another wave was going to come. So why is there a shortage of tests in hospitals and at home? And you're right. Once the IGs start and the legislative auditors start looking for these funds, they're going to find, at a minimum, errors of omission, if not commission, in terms of the way the money was spent. And then, you know, what that's going to lead to is more rules and regulations, and that, you know, inevitably has the byproduct of leading to inefficiency. And so, you know, kind of in thinking this through with you in real time, Newell, it kind of feels like, to whatever degree possible, we have to rely on PPPs and working with the private sector to make this more efficient. And I'm thinking now, about the Paycheck Protection Program, which, you know, was the genius of that program was working through the private banking system with, you know, I know you have Guy Williams on from Gulf Coast Bank working with folks like Guy and his bank. And that's the reason why the program was able to get billions of dollars out the door with unprecedented speed. And as far as I can tell, with an unprecedented level of integrity. If we try to do this all just using the public sector and try to regulate our way into it being done well, we're going to effectively shut these programs down. So hopefully a model like PPP can be looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, Startup NOLA Webs, that's a role?
Yeah, so we're gonna be launching it. This is a preview. This Friday, we're going to be launching StartupNOLA.com. This is going to be the website that's going to serve as the single portal for the region, whether you are somebody looking to start a company, and it'll link you to resources like funding, or you are an investor and you want to invest in a company in the New Orleans region. We're basically trying to do two things. One, to bring together all of the various resources, whether it's, you know, organizations like Idea Village or our universities like Tulane or Xavier, or it's public sources of funding, and put them in one place. And then also we're trying to capitalize on this momentum that we have coming out of this year, where we've just had an unprecedented number of exits coming out. And companies that now have taken funding from both coasts and nationally and proven that you can invest well in the region. We just think that this is a moment for us to double down on entrepreneurship as a source of wealth creation, and we just needed a digital home for it. So that's what Startup NOLA is going to be. So folks should look for it coming up this Friday.
I'm excited about it. I think it's a great idea, and I think it will work well in bringing people together that have a significant interest here. Michael, I just want to let you know, just announced Lawrence Brooks, the oldest living vet from World War II, died today in Louisiana. Thoughts and prayers go to his family, the greatest generation. Thank our vets all the time for the sacrifices made that allow us, Michael Heck and Newell, to talk about what we're talking about today.
That's right. All respect due to the greatest generation and to Mr. Brooks. And, he was really just a living piece of living history and was still making public appearances very recently. How old was Lawrence?
He's 112. I'm looking at a picture of him. He looks great. Just unbelievable.
You know, It's amazing. My wife is doing a PhD in aging studies now over at Tulane, and whenever they talk about people like Mr. Brooks, these super centenarians, they always want to know what their secret is. And everybody always has their own secret, and it might be like I eat a pound of chocolate a day, or my favorite one was, there was a woman in France who lived to be 108, and her secret is that she only had two cigarettes a day. just one after lunch and one before bedtime, and that was her secret.
I had a friend that lived a long, long life, and he said it was 12 millilights before noon. So.
Exactly. You know, I mean, Noel, you know, some people are just blessed like you with good genes, and other people like me need good doctors, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Thank God for modern medicine, right? All right, folks, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Stay with us, folks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, in spite of all of the challenges of 2021, and we could probably talk for 3 hours about that list is so long. We could talk about it for 3 hours, but there were a lot of great things that happened throughout the New Orleans metropolitan area in 2021.
It's interesting. We spent so much time dealing with the challenges and catastrophes because they were so big, and COVID and Ida and so forth, that it's kind of easy to miss all the things that were happening despite those challenges, and actually in some cases because of them, where there were businesses or individuals who were pivoting and making hay even when it was raining. And so, you know, as I was going through and reflecting in economic development, what happened last year, I was almost kind of, you know, surprised myself at all the good. And so, yeah, I think it's worth just kind of reviewing the things that happened. And just to give some highlights, you know, there was a bunch of business activity. Breeze Airways came to the airport, David Neeleman's new airline, but actually put an operations hub there, which was over 260 new jobs at the airport. We had companies that were kind of local companies, historic companies that stayed and expanded. Like you had Latrim Intralox with a 425-person expansion up in Tangipahoa. You had IMTT, historic company, deciding not to move to Houston but to stay here in New Orleans and adding 40 more jobs at an average salary of $130,000 each. You had one of the biggest names in video games, a guy named Jeff Strain, announcing he's putting his new headquarters for his new company here called Possibility Space, a major biodiesel facility in St. Bernard Parish with Chalmette Refining. So, you know, a lot of stuff happening in traditional economic development. And then the exits that we talked about before, TurboSquid selling for $75 million, High Voltage Software for $50 million, LevelSet for $500 million, Geosint and Bobby Savoy, who turned around and gave $5 million to UNO, and then Lucid, which just closed for over $1 billion. And what's so important about these companies is, I was talking to a woman from Austin, Texas the other day, who's been there since the 70s. Her husband was one of the founders of Dell Computers. And she talked about how when Dell grew, it created all of these Dellionaires, as she called them. And they were really the people that seeded the growth of Austin. So I expect that the Lucids and the Levelsets and Geosense here are going to seed new companies, new philanthropy, new investment, incredibly significant. A lot of wins in the policy side. You know, we were able to change the tax laws in Louisiana and lower our top income tax rate from 6% down to 4.25%. The Wall Street Journal wrote an editorial about this and called this major tax reform breakthrough for the state of Louisiana. And that's incredibly important because the top three states that attracted people during COVID were Texas, Tennessee, and Florida. And I frankly believe quite firmly it's because they have no income taxes. And so we're now moving in that direction. We're now the fourth lowest in the country among states that do charge income tax. And then there's a lot of growth opportunity. You know, we pushed a lot into offshore wind and we formed the GNO Wind Alliance, which now has 130 members and is developing an offshore wind industry here in Louisiana, both to build other wind farms around the country and within about 3 to 4 years have actual offshore wind off of our coast. And then going forward, I look into next year, and a lot of stuff I think augurs really well. The airport is coming back strong. British Airways has returned. And I think we're going to see an increasing number of flights as people come for tourist amenities like the Four Seasons or Viking River cruises, which is going to start here. Our logistics sector, I talked about last week, Newell, is going to continue to become ever more important. Getting that container facility built on the river is critical because waterborne traffic and containerized traffic is going to become even more important in the post-COVID world. Our tech sector continues to surge, and everybody's participating. We're number four in the country for women and number four in the country for African-Americans per capita who are in that. And we're building the rocket out in New Orleans East that's going to put the first woman on the moon and put humankind on Mars as part of this space race now that has things like SpaceX and Blue Origin also competing. You look at all this together, and then I think the capstone on this is that people are more mobile than ever, and because of remote work, which is not going to go away post-COVID, they're now deciding where they want to work as opposed to who they want to work for. It's a huge opportunity for New Orleans. The way that we kind of talk about it is that in the olden days, by that I mean 2 years ago, we used to do what we called elephant hunting. Remember the olden days? You know,
yeah, the olden days.
The days of, you know, of web, you know, regular web. We used to do elephant hunting, going after big Amazon HQ2 type of deals. We're not doing that as much anymore. Now we're trying to build butterfly gardens, these cities that have the right combination of public infrastructure, public safety, public education, along with amenities, so that we attract talent from around the country and around the world. And if we get our blocking and tackling right along those things like infrastructure and public safety, Newell, then we can be a brain magnet, particularly when you combine it with our universities. So, you know, I know I'm sorry for being breathless right now, but you know, there's a lot out there, and most of it's real and most of it's good.
I love the optimism. But, you know, and I say this all the time, a success breeds success, right? And you know, the water level rises for all, you know. I mean, and it's just we should brag about more millionaires, not complain about more millionaires in our area. But you mentioned two things, public infrastructure, public safety. We're about to seat a new council. And from the public safety perspective right now, it's pretty butt ugly. And the public infrastructure right now, not too much. I can't say too much. that's even much better than butt ugly. And they serve as disruptors to the success that so many people are helping to develop here. Thoughts on along those lines?
We have to get the blocking and tackling right. If we don't have that foundation solid, then we're trying to build companies and build careers and build families on shifting sands, on unstable ground, and it doesn't work. On, you know, public infrastructure, we just talked about that in the first half of the show. There are literally billions of dollars coming down, and we have a generational opportunity to improve things, our roads, our water system, including the water gallery, our electrical grid, our public transportation. And so the opportunity is there for us. So I kind of have line of sight on that. On public safety, you know, this is something which is an acute issue here in our region, but it's also a national issue. And it's something that seems to be a product of many factors of COVID, of national attitudes towards policing, of maybe a pendulum that swung too far. And I think what you're seeing in cities around the country, most recently in New York with Eric Adams, and then in San Francisco with Mayor London Breed, where they are saying we have to critically look at what we're doing and how are we able to keep our citizens safe and how are we able to balance criminal justice reform in order to have a more just society and a more constitutional police force in a way that protects our people and particularly our young people. And I think when I look at what's going on here in our region, it seems that there are a number of things that we have to address. We clearly have to address recruiting, whether it's about salaries or allowing lateral transfer or speeding up the process. We have to address things like the use of technology in a constitutional way and make sure that we're empowering our police officers. And then I think in general, and this is a personal peeve of mine, Noel, I think that it's about showing respect for all of the people who serve our country, whether they're, you know, in the military or in paramilitary organizations like the police or our firemen or our school teachers, hard and critical work that they do, because a lot of this work is not for the money as much as it's mission driven. And so showing folks who take on these responsibilities to protect us and educate us is a critical part of the package.
You know, Michael, when I think back in a not-so-distant past, the private sector really took ownership of a lot of these issues. I remember the creation of the New Orleans Police and Justice Foundation and other things that helped facilitate recruiting, bonuses being paid, all kinds of different things. I don't get the sense of that same momentum today. And I'm curious your thoughts as to maybe why that is, or maybe it is and I just don't see it.
You know, I don't disagree with you. I can't really put my finger on what the difference is. Here at GNO Inc., we have something called the Crime Tech Task Force, and we actually specifically focus on tactical things that the local technology community can do to help support the local police force. So, for example, we've written software that has connected driver license scanners to computers, or that has allowed for the automatic uploads of calls for service to daily reports to reduce time spent doing busy work. We're currently working on a project with the police that's going to allow for retired officers to deal with traffic accidents so that we don't have to use uniformed post-certified officers for that type of work. We're working with them on a scheduling project to improve the efficiency of scheduling. So here at GNO Inc., we still are engaged in a very tactical way in ways that we can help really use technology as a force multiplier. But no, in general, this is something that's an all hands on deck type of effort that requires, of course, not just the police. It's about the private sector helping out. It's certainly about the judiciary, without question. It's about economic development and job opportunity. There's an enormous mental health component to it as well. It's a syndrome, and it's going to get better. But it's you know, there's no magic single answer. It's going to be all this stuff working together. But we do have to be honest and critical about it, and talk about what's going to what's going to protect our children.
And I use as an example the mental health jail as an issue, and I waited with bated breath, you know, to hear from the business community as to whether or not they were going to involve themselves in that issue. There's a huge, there's a lot of, I should say, friction between the mayor and then Sheriff Guzman and others. So, you know, it, but no input at all, collectively, collaboratively, from the business community, and I just kind of found it a little odd. Hold on to that thought if you don't mind, because I got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, I ask you to hold that thought, especially as it relates to what I think is going to be critical to the successes in 2022, because as I look around the country, the cities and counties, parishes that have redefined, re-engineered themselves, it started right there in the heart of the business community.
Yeah, that's right. And if you look back, frankly, at the progress that we made coming out of Hurricane Katrina, driven, led by the business community and the business community, the private sector, in partnership with the public sector, whether we're talking about good government reform or education reform or levy reform, all of these things have to happen on a public-private basis, and the business community leading is important. And so, you know, you were asking about mental health and where the business community has been on that issue. And I think that you're right that we've been too quiet on it. And I think perhaps kind of an evolution has to occur, like happened for us on early childhood education. A few years ago, we really weren't talking about early childhood education. We were just talking about post-secondary and working with important entities like LCTCS and our four-year schools. But we began to realize that what happens in the first 1,000 days of a child's life is cognitively and emotionally so important that we have to start there. And so maybe in terms of mental health, which includes not just mental health relative to the jail, but for our children and all of our citizens, we have to start paying more attention to that now, because without question, a lot of what drives criminality is addiction and mental health issues. And coming out of COVID, frankly, I think there's going to be an epidemic of mental health challenges with our children who've been denied a lot of the kind of classic socialization educational context because of it. And so I think, you know, I'll take up that challenge here at GNO Inc. and with our partners to do a better job on mental health going into 2022.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you, I know, would recognize it and see it, and obviously you did, because I really believe that we are headed for much more troubled time as we come out of this pandemic, and it's going to reveal itself in many different ways, and I'm not sure we're ready.
No, I think in the same way that we had the Katrina generation of children that were traumatized by the hurricane and its aftermath, we're going to have that coming out of COVID, but frankly, it's been over a longer period of time, and it's been global. And so, yeah, I don't know what's going to come, but I think it's clearly going to manifest itself, and we have to at least be looking for it. But, you know, this, I think, kind of a way to wrap a bow. Well, I'm not going to try to wrap a bow on this conversation, but I'm going to try to at least, like, pretty it
no,
up a little
it,
bit. Like,
what but I'm it's, a, it's a worthy conversation. I mean, and there are a lot of positives. I mean, I love the examples that you talk about in the aftermath of Katrina, because the amount of change that was affected by the community, and we seem to have forgotten it, was huge. Like,
yeah,
I have never seen in my lifetime.
Correct. So the theme of our annual meeting, which, you know, God willing, we're going to be able to have in person in a month on February 3rd, is Change the Game, right? And here's the point, is that, you know, I say, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know, if you don't like the way politicians are behaving in elections, then let's try ranked choice voting, for example. Change the incentives, you know, build a better mousetrap. And so I think we have to think about what are those things that we can do that will drive systemic change, whether it is a different approach to mental health, or it's hardening our grid, or it's improving our tax structure. These are things that we did post-Katrina, again, in areas like education and flood protection and good government with assessor reform, for example. And so that's most important, that we put the vast majority of our time and effort into driving systems change, which is going to create better opportunity for everybody as you talk about lifting all boats going forward. That's a much more effective thing for us to do than to put out individual fires every time there's an event because we weren't adequately prepared. So that's what we're really going to try to focus most of our attention on, is what are those things at a policy level that we can do using infrastructure money by changing the law that will systemically create a better place to live and work for all of Greater New Orleans and Louisiana.
I love it, and I look forward to February 3rd for your annual luncheon, and hopefully we'll be able to pull that off as well. Michael Hecht, always appreciate your time, my friend. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Newell, thanks so much. I guess I got to go mutate.
Yeah, there you go. Who knows what next week will hold.
I can't tell you how many appreciative text messages I've been getting during this call. Thank you. You've made me a meme. Appreciate that.
Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you again
next phone call.
Week. We'll be right back. Always enjoy the conversation with Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc. They have their annual luncheon on February 3rd. We hope to be there. We'll talk about that later, but I hope you enjoy the conversation as well. Coming up after top of the news break, Walt Leger, the incoming president and CEO of New Orleans and Company. You will recall that we had he and the existing CEO on the other day talking about a bunch of different issues there, and we'll talk specifically about 2022, the outlook for tourism, the convention season, and other issues. And the city had one hell of a New Year's Eve and Christmas season, a lot of bookings and hotels. We'll talk about that, the impact on our local economy as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Walt Leger from New Orleans & Company. This is Newell on WWO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.